Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I feel so excited because tonight we will still continue in our study in the book of Isaiah, which we know that this study will expose all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another quick reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what we consider a commercial break, which during that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, like I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you so much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, the promise is that Jesus will give you rest if you first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest and peace to your soul. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Now, the promise is that Jesus will give you rest and peace to your soul if you learn of him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode in you. John chapter 4, verse 23, or John chapter 14, verse 23. Now, the promise is that Jesus and God will make their abode in you if you love them and you keep the words of Jesus Christ. The question is, again, are you standing on the promises? Now, let's go to the study. Now, before we actually get into the meat of the matter, I want to remind you, too, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Okay, let's start the study. We're going to go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 16, verse 5, 1 through 5 will be the first five verses that we look at. Now, before we read the text, I want you to focus on this instruction. This is what I want you to realize or think about as we read the text. God's mercy is beyond understanding. God's mercy is beyond understanding. Now, keep that in mind as we read Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. And this is what it says. Since send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let my outcast dwell with thee, Moab, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, and from the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall set upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Now again, God's mercy is beyond understanding, and this is what the prophet is telling about Moab. Now we're going to conclude the thought reading verses 11 through 14, and this is what it says. Wherefore my bowels shall sound like an harp for Moab, and my inward parts for Kaharash. And it shall come to pass, when it seems that Moab is weary on the high place, that he shall come to his sanctuary to pray, but he shall not prevail. Now, we know that Moab eventually was destroyed for its disobedience to God. But at this time in the prophecy, God's mercy is beyond understanding, and Moab is given an extra chance at survival, if you will. Now, what I want to do is go to our compliment. We're going to go to the book of James, chapter 2, the book of James, chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. And this is what the compliment tells us. James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And this is what it says. This is how we compare and agree. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now, we know that that law of liberty, for all points and purposes, is basic instructions before leaving earth. And this is going to tell us how God's mercy is beyond understanding. Verse 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. Remember, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So verse 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. But listen to this, my brothers and sisters, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. How beautiful to know that today we know that God's mercy rejoiceth against his judgment, and that is what is beyond understanding. Now, what I want you to realize from this instruction spiritually, this is what it means, that the mercy of God towards us is paramount. Without mercy, we will all die without salvation. That is the key. And we know that the mercy of God, like I mentioned, shall endure forever. So I want you to understand that that this mercy is through repentance, and that repentance will give us a chance at salvation. Now let us go to the next instruction, and we're going to be looking at instruction number 26, and we're going to continue the instruction after the break.
And if I ask you if you wanted to be successful, everybody in this room would say, absolutely. That's why you're here. But if you and I could take that success conversation and expand it, and I ask you to tell me what you thought success was, in a crowd this size, I would promise you there would be probably 2 or 3 dozen different answers, because success can be very subjective. I would like to talk to you about it today. I've studied the subject for 30 plus years. I've tried to ask questions of successful people. I've tried to talk to them, try to discover what made them successful and kind of find out what they think success is. This is a success symposium. This is a day that you've set aside, I've set aside to kind of be more successful and get our act together and hit our potential and climb a new level. That's why we're all here. And I think it would be maybe good for us to take just a few minutes and kind of have as a settling point and as a starting point what success is. I think success, first of all, is knowing my purpose in life. As I have watched and observed successful people, what I have discovered about them is they really have figured out why they're here. They really do have their act together. And knowing their purpose in life is a stability for them. So that when everyone else is rocking and rolling and things are a little unsteady and people are kind of leaving the ship and people are kind of abandoning their causes, these people, they hold steady right throughout the storm because they have a true North Star. They truly are focused. It becomes an anchor in their life that just holds them steady. And the anchor is a confidence based upon a knowledge of purpose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 26, and we're going to be reading from the text Isaiah chapter 17. We're going to read several verses, verse 1, 7, and 14. And before we read the text, I want you to keep in mind the instruction, the burdens of Damascus. Okay, and this is what we're going to be thinking about as I read the text, the burden of Damascus. And this is what Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1 says, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, we know what happened to Damascus in Syria. They were enemies of Israel, and they had to suffer the consequences for fighting against Israel. Now, verse 7 says, of chapter 17, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And to complete the thought, verse 14 says, and behold, at evening time, trouble. And before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rive us. So this is the torment, or if you will, the weight that is put on Damascus for their disobedience against Israel. And Isaiah the prophet is prophesying this. This may have occurred already. Now let us go to our compliment. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. We're going to read verse 21 and 22. And this is what we're going to realize today, comparing and agreeing what Jesus is telling us about our burden. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, and this is what it says. It says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So the burden that we're listening to is an example that we have seen and we have saw what we're supposed to do in this time frame that we're in. But if we don't do that, we are going to be laid waste because of the burden. And verse 22 says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." So it concludes by telling us that this is very significant, that we obey the word of God or we suffer the consequences. Now, this is what it should mean spiritually to us in our lives, that the burden of sin, you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's what we're combating, that the burden of sin will destroy us without help. And that is why Jesus is our salvation. And, of course, we know that sin has been relieved because of the cross of Jesus Christ. But we are held accountable for our workings of sin. And we've all gone through this explanation at a previous study, that the workings of sin is what we're held accountable for. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The burdens of that working is what is climatic to us in our lives today. Now let's go to instruction number 27. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 18, and we're going to read Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 4 and verse 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Another admonition to the people. This is another warning that Isaiah is giving in parable or in prophecy to the people of Israel. Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, this is what it says. "Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in the vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, Go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible, from their beginnings hitherto, a nation melted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye." Now this prophecy is including, I think, what we are experiencing today in our world. Verse 4 says, "For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripened in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches." Now we know that a prophecy can get into a mystery, and that is what we're looking at when we read verse 5, that is telling us things that we probably don't understand. Now, verse 7 concludes and says, "In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginnings hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion." Now, this, again, admonition is telling us of a crisis that is to come. Now, what we're going to do is now go to our complement to see a comparison and an agreement that is identified in Luke chapter 21, verse 8 through 11. Luke chapter 21 through 11, and this is how Jesus has, you might say, touched upon illuminating this prophecy that Isaiah spoke back in Israel in Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 4 and verse 7. This is what Luke chapter 21, verse 8 through 11 says. And Jesus said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. And you know that constantly through the 2,000 years we've been waiting for the return of Christ, that there have been those who have said that they know when the end comes. Verse 9 says, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. We know that is true. Verse 10 says, then said he unto them, nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs, and there shall be, and still there be from heaven. These signs shall be from heaven. And this is what the warning is to us. And we should realize that in that time frame which we're in, that what we should be looking to is Jesus Christ for the end to come. And now what I want you to understand is from the reading of this instruction, this is what it should spiritually mean to us in our lives today, that we are seeing today is just the continuation of the beginning of the end, which has been occurring for the last 2,000 years. We know that certain things, thank Jesus Christ for the book of Revelations that gives us more insight on this end time that is coming, so we know how to be prepared. We can tell from what we just read that the end is not yet, even though the warning is still there. Now we're going to go to instruction number 28, and we're going to continue with that instruction after the break.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth or their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up, like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth, like, 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all got to pay attention. I just balled it up, so clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up, what if I stomp on it, and then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? And at least 92 cents? It's okay, all right, so what if I ball it up, what if I step on it, what if I put it in trash, and then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 28, and it's out of 101 that I've written for this series, and we're back in the Bible to Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1 through 4. That's the text we're going to be reading, and this is what the instruction identifies that we should pay attention to while I'm reading the text. A prophecy about Egypt, okay? This is a prophecy about Egypt during that time frame of Isaiah walking through the world with Israel in Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1, this is what it says. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Now, we know that a lot of prophecies were against Egypt, more especially after the captivity when Israel came out of Egypt. because of what Egypt did to Israel, there were a lot of things that occurred to Egypt, and this is one of them. Verse 2 says, "And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the council thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the land of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts." And we know that the one that I am going to illustrate is when Alexander the Great took over Egypt, okay? And that is could be the prophecy that Isaiah is speaking to. I'm not sure, but again, the point is that there are a lot of incidences that Egypt had to suffer because of what it did to Israel. Or I should say, yes, Egypt had to suffer. Now, we're going to go to our compliment. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, 23 and 24. And this is comparing and agreeing. Today, this is the prophecy that is telling us what is going to happen to those because of bad actions. This is what Matthew chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 says. "And thou, Capernaum," this is Jesus speaking, "which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." What Jesus has given us an illustration of what happened to Capernaum, and we should take heed today what is happening in our world today at large. We should be ashamed because we know that what Jesus said would happen to Sodom and Gomorrah is worse in our situation because we have no excuse. We have basic instructions before leaving earth that gives us all that we need to get through this. And if we don't respond to it, the calamity will be ours. Now, this is spiritually what the instruction should mean to us in our lives, that while we live in the United States of America, we can't take for granted or take part in her sins, or we shall suffer with her, as many as are. And that is key, my brothers and sisters. What I'm trying to tell you is that we are in the world, but we should not be part of it. So those of us who are in the United States of America, what we see going on around us that is immoral and that is sinful and degrading to God's laws, we should not be a part of that. Okay, let us go now to instruction number 25 or instruction number 29. And what we're going to do is go back to Isaiah, and we're going to be reading Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. And what we're going to pay attention to, or I want you to pay attention to as I read the text, this is the instruction. "Beware of the prophecy of the barefoot and the naked." Beware of the prophecy of the barefoot and the naked. This is the prophecy that we're going to pay attention to as I read the text. Now, this is when Isaiah was told by God to walk through Jerusalem barefooted and naked. And we're going to find out why. This is what Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 6 says. "In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from thy loins, and put off thy shoes from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefooted. And the Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder unto Egypt and upon Ethiopia." Now, this was telling them that they were doing not what the Lord will. They were doing wrong in the sight of God. Verse 4 says, "So shall the king of Assyria be led away, shall lead away the Egyptian prisoners, and the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitants of this isle shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation, whether we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? Now, this particular prophecy may have already been completed. That's not the point that I'm getting to in this explanation. The explanation that I'm getting to is that being barefoot and naked, we are like the example given in Genesis chapter 3, I believe, when God told Adam, or where are you, when he asked Adam, where was he? And Adam said that he hid himself because he was afraid and that he was naked. That's what I'm talking about. Sin is our nakedness. Now, let's go to our new complement. We're going to go to the book of Revelations. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 16, verse 15. Revelations chapter 16, verse 15. And this is what the Spirit is saying in the prophecy, again, that is relative to being barefoot and naked. This is what Revelations chapter 16, verse 15 says. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, what the Spirit is saying here, and this is my interpretation, that being naked and barefoot is being in sin and unrepentant. And the Spirit is saying to the churches that I will come unto you as a thief. You will not know when I will come unto you, and you need to pay attention. You need to watch and keep your garments. That means watch and stay within the laws of God, or you will suffer the consequences. Now, again, this is my understanding, and this is what I want you to take from this spiritually as the meaning, that we must not be caught naked and barefooted before God, unrepentant of our sins when he comes for us. That's key, my brothers and sisters. Thank God for Jesus Christ and repentance. Remember, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So that is what we should be aware of, or that we should be aware of this prophecy, that if we're not watching and keeping our garments, that we can be overcome by sin and lose our salvation. Now let's go to instruction number 30. Instruction number 30, we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter. After the break, we'll continue.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You got to have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you. The only thing I want from you is that every single day when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me or my house or my children or my brothers or my sister or my husband or my vision or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, I'm standing. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fading, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through. Struggles that you stood through. Weaknesses that you stood through. Crises that you stood through. Pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny. When you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're on instruction number 30, and we are going to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 21, and we're going to be reading several verses. We're going to start with 5 and 6, and we're going to pay attention, if you will, please, to this instruction. Be watchful that we see and understand. That is what the instruction is telling us, that we should be watchful that we see and understand. And remember, Jesus said several times about how important it is to be watchful. And even some of the other prophets, Ezekiel, for instance, says that we are watchmen. Anyway, we're going to read Isaiah chapter 21, verse 5, and this is what it says. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Verse 6 says, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. Now we're going to go to verse 10, and it says, O my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. This is what he completed this thought in verse 12. The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Now, what I'm telling you is that the instruction, be watchful, that's the key. And that's what Isaiah is telling the people of Israel in this prophecy about understanding and seeing while you're watchful. Being watchful is just not good enough. You can see and don't perceive. Remember, we will get to Isaiah telling us that further on in his lessons, where he says, the eye sees and doesn't perceive, the ear hears and doesn't understand. That is in the same realm we're talking about. Now we're going to go to our compliment, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 12 in Philippians. And this is how Paul admonishes us today about being watchful and what we should understand and see while we're watching. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Your obedience is the key to watching correctly. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is the bottom line of understanding while we're watching. We can't look and see what other people are doing during our walk in life if we're not obeying, and if we're obeying and they're not obeying the word of God. We have to understand that our walk is different, and for salvation's sake, we must fear and watch. Now, this is what I want you to take from this understanding spiritually that through basic instructions before leaving Earth, we can better know what to look out for and understand how to accomplish it. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Through basic instructions before leaving Earth, we can better know what to look out for and understand how to accomplish it. That is the key. That is the reason that our Holy Fathers compiled the 66 books that we're using so we can have an understanding. As we watch, we can see what is going on in our lives that is contrary to what basic instructions before leaving Earth says, and we can do the right thing and attain our salvation. Now let's go to instruction number 31. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 1 to begin with. Isaiah chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 1, and we're going to also read verse 12 through 14. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. The instruction says, the burden of the valley of vision. Now, all of these lessons that we're going to follow, most of them in Isaiah, is going to be about prophecy. So this particular prophecy is the burden of the valley of vision. And we just identified in the previous instruction how we must be watchful to see and understand. And this is going to tell us about if we're not watching and understanding, that there is going to be a labor that may be, well, it could be intense and cause us a lot of problems during our walk in this life. And this is what Isaiah chapter 22, verse 1 says, the burden of the valley of vision, what aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the house of top, to the housetops? Now we're going to go to verse 12 through 14 and get a better understanding of what I just gave you. Verse 12 says, and in that day that the Lord God of hosts called to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. Okay, that's the burden. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying of oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And that is the conclusion of this text, or one more verse. And it was revealed in my eyes, or in my ears, by the Lord of hosts. Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. So that's the burden. If you're not looking correctly and watching and understanding, even that it seems like it's right, but we know it's not because of what we're taught out of basic instructions before leaving Earth, that's going to be climatic for us. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 12, and this is how it was explained in the book of Matthew about this burden of the valley of vision. This is what Matthew says. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, this is John the Baptist telling of the vision, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And remember what I told you earlier, that Jesus said that I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And we know that repentance gives us a reconciliation back to God because of our sins. Verse 9 says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the roots of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. This is telling us, my brothers and sisters, that right now today, we are on a count, on a time count, that our time may run out right now, or it may run out next week or next year. But we have to realize that our account, we're held accountable right now for what we do. Verse 11 it says, indeed, baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is the first time that we understand that there is more than just one baptism. The baptism that John is just identifying, John the Baptist, is the baptism that Jesus will give us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And listen to this. This is the key to this instruction. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that tells us that that burden is going to be troublesome. And if we have the vision, we know what to do, what is right, because of basic instructions before leaving earth. But if we don't do what is right and we get caught out of time, then this will be our end result. Now, this is what I want you to realize spiritually from this instruction, what effect it should have on our lives, that we must understand that our vision to salvation is through repentance. We'll continue after the break.
Blind spots are the places that we allow ourselves not to be changed. Areas that you won't allow your faith to touch. Where your faith is not penetrating and you don't see it. Vengeance and anger and hurt create blind spots. I'm not talking about good people and evil people, right people and wrong people. I'm talking about places where there should be love, but there's hate. Like maybe your heart. I wonder what is in your blind spot. Who is suffering in your blind spot for the lack of something that you refuse to give? Some people are nicer to strangers than they are to their own family. How can you say that you love God and hate me just because you're gifted and just because you're anointed and just because you're successful doesn't mean you're right? Just because you made a lot of money doesn't mean you're right. You cannot substitute cash for righteousness. If God measures the saturation of our faith by the way we treat people, how deep is yours? How deep are you really? What I'm asking you to do is to reflect the mercy you have been given. The reason I have to be merciful is because I have received mercy. And every time I want to be judgmental, I keep remembering something that God did in my life. Mercy doesn't end with you. Mercy begins with you. I think God wants to make you a sanctuary. He wants to make your heart a sanctuary. This is not about them. This is about you. God wants you to be free.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 32. Let us go back to Isaiah chapter 22, and we're going to be reading verse 20 through 25. That's Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20 through 25. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. God gives us another chance. That's what I want you to pay attention to. God gives us another chance. Praise his holy name. Through Jesus Christ, we know that that is the ultimate other chance. But that's what I want you to pay attention to as we read Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20 through 25. And this is what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government unto his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now, what the prophet is saying, that this particular king is the one that's God anointed, so he is the one that's going to save Israel during this time frame. And we know, likened to Jesus Christ, he is God's anointed, and he's going to save all of us forever. Anyway, back to verse 22, it says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. We know that the Spirit, speaking to the churches at Philadelphia, tells us that it's going to be Jesus Christ that opens that door permanently for us, that no one can shut. And the key, or the key of the house of David, we know it also has been brought out in the instruction from the Spirit to the church in Philadelphia about that. Verse 23 says, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantities, from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now this, I think, is identifying Jesus being nailed to the cross. This is God giving us another chance. This is what verse 25 says of this prophecy. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened to the sure place be removed, that is the nail to the cross, and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. And he shall be buried, and he shall be resurrected and ascend into heaven. That's what exactly what Jesus did for us. So that is the context of the prophecy for Israel back in the day when this particular king, that was Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, was ruling over Israel. Now what we want to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 8, verse 14, and verse 15. And this is what Paul is telling the church at Colossia about this chance, or this extra chance that God has given us to redeem ourselves. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we know that out there in the world are different types of beliefs, religions. We're talking about not only Islam, but Hinduism and Buddhism, and there are, those are just a few of the major ones. Be aware that they are not after Jesus Christ. And this is the result. We're going to go to 14 and 15, and this is where God gives you another chance. You don't have this chance without Jesus Christ. And this is what verse 14 and 15 tells us. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Remember we just read in Isaiah chapter 25 how that is so important, that our sins were nailed to the cross. Then they were relieved when Jesus was taken down from the cross. He had completed the transaction. And this is what verse 15 says. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that triumphing over them in it, that's when Jesus was resurrected the third day and rose from the dead. That is so significant to our having another chance through God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that as long as you have breath breathing in and out, we still have the chance to repent to God. That is so critical, my precious brothers and sisters. As long as we are breathing in and out, we are able to repent and get back in good graces with God. Okay, that was the final instruction that we have this evening. And what I want to do is rehearse for you what I haven't given you in a while, since there may be some new listeners out there. This is the intent of the program, staying in accordance with my mission statement that everyone be exposed to salvation. My good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, wherefore I will not have you ignorant, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it aright, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, that being said, here are some of the highlights of our program's description and format. This is the first thing that is significant in this study, the stressing of the spiritual aspects of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus the Christ said it best. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why I stress in my explanation of the spiritual intent of the instruction more than the physical. Number two, drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ. That's why I start every program with standing on the promises as an exercise and a drill, for us to understand that if you are standing on the promises, you will receive the benefit of thereby. Number three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. That, I think, is critical, that we take the total part of the Bible, all of it, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that should give us an understanding of where we are. Now, the fourth point is the use of Scripture to validate opinions, and I try to do that a lot. The fifth point is our mission statement is this is for everybody. That is the mission statement, that this is for everybody. Now, this completes the lesson for this evening, and as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to bless you and thank you for your participation and encouragement.
Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodnight to our listeners out there, remember what Jesus Christ said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.